Good afternoon, everyone. Just loud. I think it's good. Demetrius talks loud, so we'll be just fine. So, guys, welcome back to Huddle for 2023. Hope everybody had a good winter, and it's good to see some regulars. If this might be your first time, could you just kind of slip your hand up so we could welcome you to Huddle? So let's welcome them to Huddle. If you could, just make sure you quiet your cell phones. Lunch is provided by someone that's anonymous, but let's thank our beautiful ladies over here that serve us every week. And then, Demetrius, if you want to come on up, we'll pray. Father God, just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your power, your lordship. God, we just thank you for the creation of Huddle many years ago and what it's done in each of our lives. Lord, we just give this time to you. Bless it, anoint it. Bless the food to our bodies. Lord, we just thank you so much for Demetrius and his life and his journey and his love and passion for you. I love this man so much. God, we give this time to you now. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon. Yeah, I have missed you tremendously. I was really attending every week until I got my new job. And once I walked away from my old job and got my new job, I had not been able to come out and be with you guys. As you can see, the title of our series for the next 3 weeks will be Love After Lockup. I am not a television watcher, per se. I watch a lot of sports, probably like some of you guys, but there is one reality television program that comes on that I watch every week, and it's called Love After Lockup. And I've been watching this for probably the last couple of years, and I see some of you looking at me like, what in the world is Love After Lockup? Well, Love After Lockup is it's a reality show where they deal with several different females, and every now and then there's a guy, but the person that they're in love with is in prison. And so they follow these lives of these people being in prison, and of course all the guys that are locked up are just so in love. She's the apple of my eye. She's the best thing I ever saw. She's everything that I could hope for and wish for and dream for. And then he gets out. And a new reality becomes her reality, because now that in a whole lot of love, there's a whole lot of arguing, a whole lot of fighting, and my eyes are glued to it every time, right? And so I really want to talk to us about Love After Lockup, and it's amazing because the reason why I haven't been able to come is because I got a new job and I am now a chaplain at Miami Correctional Facility. Yeah, you talk to us, thank you. And if you know anyone that needs a job, we are hiring. If you know anybody committing crimes, we're hiring. But I want to say I appreciate the mere fact that I am here is because my boss and the new warden of Miami are here too. Y'all just wave your hands, those two guys. Yeah, give me a hand. They'll treat me better, so give me a good hand. There you go. And so I am just appreciative to be here with you. And for these next 3 weeks, I pray that you will get something to help you on your journey. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, we're going to help you develop one. And we're going to lead you toward Christ. And if you already have one, and it seems to be on the rocks, or you find yourself in this same situation, like you have Love After Lockup, meaning that you have struggles and issues and problems and circumstances that you don't understand how you're going to get out of, and you are fervently going to the Lord. But my issue with you would be, when God brings you out of that circumstance, when that circumstance ends, that situation is fixed or resolved, what kind of believer or Christian man will you be then? I have found, and I am a living witness of this, when I am really going through, sometimes I can get really spiritual. But when everything is good, you know, me and the wife aren't arguing, the kids are okay, money is all right, it doesn't seem like I'm as fervent in my relationship with the Lord as I ought to be. Am I talking to anybody else? Yeah, I feel that way sometimes too. And it happens. And so I hope today, as we start this series, that we will be able to just minister something to you for your lives. But look at John 3:16, and let's just read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go to verse 17. This is important scripture too. Read it.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world,
there's a couple of things that you have to understand that when you are going through things that sometimes we forget. And that is, not only does God care about you, but God cares for you. And I know you say, is that the same thing? It's not. Caring about you means whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever struggle, whatever sin, whatever problem that you might be facing right now, he cares about that. He cares about you. But the hard part is when we say God cares for you, meaning that you could have all of those circumstances still added to your life, and yet it seems like God isn't taking you out of those circumstances. He isn't resolving those circumstances. And sometimes we think that he is not caring for us, but I'm here to let you know, you can't develop yourself. You can't make yourself out to be a better believer, a better man of God, a better Christian. He has to develop you to be that. And sometimes when this caring part comes into play, we don't understand that sometimes caring means hitting you in the head a couple times. Caring means every now and then, you know, I had a mom that if I done something down the street, I get a whooping down the street. And the neighbor could call my mother, and when I got home, what do y'all think happened when I walked in the door? She heard about me, and then she cared for me, right? Similarly, this is what happens in our walk with God, that we don't understand that when he doesn't pull us out of things, that somehow he has either forgotten us, or we get bitter, or we get angry, or we get discouraged, and then we stop being who God really wants us to be because we don't think he really cares, but he does. And so I'm going to just a simple story, and we'll just walk through this story really quickly, and I promise you it's not going to take me but 10 minutes to give you this story. But in the first scripture, it is the scripture of the 10 lepers. And it starts out, it says, now it happened, he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. Remember when we read verse 17, it says he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came so that he may save the world, right? And so one of the things that has to happen in our thought process is you got to always realize, and I'm using the term lost, but I'm not talking about your salvation, okay? There is a loss that we all have to deal with. And what is that loss? Meaning you have God's way, and then you have your way. And you can get lost in your way while you're walking with God. How many have ever been lost in your way, even walking with him, right? And so you can get lost in your way. But thank God for Jesus, because he already stated to us, I didn't come to just condemn you for where I see you, but I came so that you might be saved, even when you are what? Lost. And if you remember, there's another story of Zacchaeus. And he said, the Son of Man didn't come to save those, and I'm paraphrasing, save those who don't need a doctor. He came to save those that believe we should be at the doctor's office every day. And that's who he came to save. So he does care about you. But this area and this issue of being lost, sometimes when we get on our own roads, doing our own thing, we seem to forget it is God's way and not our way. And you know what? Sometimes some of the prayers you pray, I pray them too. I want God to do what I say do. And he don't always do what I say. And thank God that he doesn't. I'd have a lot of dead people hanging around me. Right? But he doesn't do what I say. What he's trying to do is answer my prayers so that I might glorify him in the answering of those prayers. And a lot of times we have forgotten, this is not, when you look at another man and say, it's not about you. Yeah, I know, it's hard. I know some of y'all like it is, I pay the bills. And it's not. Yeah, I was going to say, I pay the bills too, and my kids and wife run the house, right? So one of the things we have to realize is it's not about your way. Realize that if you are in this place where you feel lost, like you just feel like he hasn't answered your prayers and I just don't know which direction to take. The beautiful thing about the story, as we have read in that first scripture, is the mere fact, and I'm sorry I went ahead one, is the mere fact that he is coming to find you. Wherever you are, matter of fact, you're not ever really lost because everything is in his hands. So you're never lost. You may be lost in your mind, you may be lost in your feelings, you may be lost in your circumstance, but you're never lost because he's going to come and find you. But look at what happens. It says, but when he gets there, 10 men that were lepers stood afar off. And this right here is really the crux of what happens when you get away from trusting God. Because many of us can come to a huddle, you can go to your church on Sunday, you can pay your tithes. But I'm here to tell you, some of you men in here, or maybe one of you men are in here, are having a socially distant relationship with Jesus. Isn't it amazing? He meets 10 lepers, but it says they stood afar off. Now, I realize they weren't trying to go up on him because it was illegal for them to just bum rush Jesus knowing that they had this disease, right? But I'm here to tell you, many of us, when we're going through things, we develop this social distance relationship with him. Meaning, we can do the outward things, but on the inside, we're still feeling pretty empty. We're still feeling like he's not listening to our prayers. We feel like we can't get a real divine answer from the Holy Spirit to help us move in the direction that God wants us to go. And this socially distant relationship can happen to you at any time. It can happen to you when you're struggling in your marriage. It can happen to you when you're struggling with having a job. It can happen to you when you're just struggling with your anger or some bitterness or unforgiveness. You'll feel so far from God, and yet his presence is there. Have you ever been sitting in church before and you knew that the presence of the Lord was in the building with you, but you felt nothing? Socially distant. That there's a distance between you and your Savior. And a lot of it is because when we're going through things, as men sometimes, we just want to keep arm's distance because we don't want to hope or trust in him because we don't want to feel hurt or pain anymore. Have you ever said this to the Lord? Lord, if you don't do this, I don't know if I'm ever going to believe ever again. Somebody said, no. I said it. Because it hurt too much to believe that he could bring me out sometimes. Because the pain was just so intense. on what I was going through. But I've always said this, your feelings are lied to you. You can't always go by how you feel.
That's right.
Because they, your feelings do lie. And I can give you a perfect example of them lying to you. There's this girl, and I'm not gonna mention her name because I think she still lives here in Kokomo. But I was in love with her. It was third grade. And I was in love with this girl. When I tell you I love this girl, I mean every time she got up to go to the chalkboard, my heart would flutter.
Oh my goodness.
And I stayed in love with her for about a year and a half. And I never told her. And when I was at Walmart about 6 months ago, I'm glad I never told her. She didn't look right. And I thought about how in love I was. But you know what it was? It was what I was feeling. Your feelings will lie to you. And so you can't go by how you feel. You got to go by your faith.
Amen.
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 Let's go to the next verse. Look at something that happens, and I'm going to challenge you guys with this one. And it says they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, have mercy on me. One of the problems that men have is we, you know, if it's a fight, well, for me, it's a fight. If I'm talking about boxing, if it's football or basketball, man, you guys go off, y'all go nuts. You go crazy, screaming and hollering at the TV, right?
Yeah.
When Peyton was ruling the coach, y'all loved him. Y'all screamed and said, Peyton, throw it. But when it comes to calling on our Savior, we get real quiet. Why is that?
Terrible.
Yeah, why? Why? Why do we take our worship and place it in other places instead of taking our worship where it belongs? Now, how many of you need Jesus' mercy today? Yeah, exactly. We all in here need it. How often do you open your mouth during that day and call on
him? Right. Preaching.
And I'm here to let you know, if your mouth stays shut, you see the X and the Z, it's not going to work. Many of you try to pray in your head, and as soon as you start praying in your head, you start having a bunch of other crazy thoughts going through your head at the same time, and you forgot what you was praying about. Anybody have to? You're going to have to learn how to open your mouth. The Bible says in the day of trouble, if you call on him, he'll answer. So we have to also start realizing if we are really going to get and be in love with him after our circumstances, you don't stop calling on him because everything gets fixed. You keep calling on him because I'm here to tell you this. If all you got to do is keep breathing because you're going to need him again. I guarantee you whatever miracle you want right now, if God answered everybody in this room's miracle right now, I promise you by May, you're going to need another one. All right? Let's go on. Look what it says. It says, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Here's the other part, gentlemen. You can't say you come into this relationship with Christ and you get to stay the same person.
Amen.
Nobody gets to stay the same. I don't know where we come up with this. I'm saved, but I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll act however I want to act, and I'll treat people however I want to treat them.
Preach it.
What concept is that? Even Jesus, every time he showed up, he made people do something. Something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Yep. Let me put some spit and dirt on your face.
Yep.
You had to do something, right? And we've got to learn that you cannot just sit and be the same person and expect all your prayers to be answered.
Amen.
Because he's not trying to answer the stuff that's on the outside of you. He's trying to answer some of the stuff that's on the inside of you.
Amen.
And he has empowered you to walk.
Right.
You can get up and walk. And as you see in that corner, you see a rock chair. And some of you have sat in the rock chair so long, and you know your butt hurts, but you're comfortable. don't want to move. And it's amazing that Jesus tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says, as they started walking, they started healing. I'm here to let you know, you're going to have to keep walking with God if you want to see healing from God.
Amen.
I know that rocks here, huh? Just staying in one place is not going to be a good thing for you. So you have to get up and walk. And I know getting up and walking when you're in pain is difficult. But guess what? You look around this room and you're looking at a whole bunch of people that had to get up and walk in pain. So it's doable. He doesn't have to fix everything first for you to trust him. Would you do me a favor?
Come here.
What's your name?
Dave.
Come here. Yeah, Dave, you're getting up like me. All right. Dave, I asked you to get up and stand in front of these guys, and it's a scary thing. It is scary.
Sit down.
Some of these faces that I'm looking at, I'm glad I don't have my contacts. And so, with that being said, did you know what I was going to ask you to do, Dave, when I asked you to get up?
No.
Were you afraid that I was going to do something mean to you?
Not really. I hope.
Well, Dave, I'm thinking about pushing you down. I guess the point that I'm making to you is this is how your walk with God is. Yeah. You don't necessarily know what he's going to do. You just have to trust that he knows what he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
Okay. That's right.
Look at verse 15. It says, but one of these guys, as he's being healed and he's walking away, one of these guys saw that he was being healed. And he returned and with a what?
Loud voice.
Didn't I tell you y'all was going to have to start talking? Didn't I tell you you were going to have to start on him? Before you get healed, he was screaming out, have mercy, right? Now he's being thankful. Is his mouth closed? No, he's still praising God.
Amen.
And then it says, he fell on his face at his feet and gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I could go into all the racial issues of the Samaritan being spoken to you, because it makes some sense, and I could talk about that, but I would rather talk about you being humble.
Good.
Because some of us, you can go through things and still not be humble.
True.
And this man, in his healing, decided, I'll still humble myself and do what? Change my position and fall at his feet. Some of you need to start changing your position. What's that position? You made up your mind, you're not going to forgive him. Change your position. Some of you have made up your mind, you're not going to love on somebody that did you wrong. Change your position. Some of you have decided, I'm going to drive my car like a madman and cuss everybody out and hold my finger out in the window. Change your position. Some of you will say, I'm just like my grandpa. I'm just like my dad. I'm just like my uncle. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Amen. Change your position. The hardest thing of being challenged, and I've been challenged in my life, and been challenged in the last 6 months. And every time I got challenged, I was mad. But it didn't hit me. If God's not going to change my circumstances, then he's probably trying to change me.
Right. Change happens on the inside.
And you know what? You get me down to my final scripture, which is this. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will someone say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where?
Hallelujah.
Which takes me to the last love after lockup. God works from the inside out.
right.
Not the outside.
Yeah. And I'm here to let you know, whatever it is you're going through, if you want to see some character changes happen in your life, you've got to start asking God to change you from the inside out.
Amen.
Not the outside in. Can we pray?
Amen.
Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. I thank you for this time together with these men. And even as they share at their tables, Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just illuminate at each table. Father, allow every man's heart to be shifted today. Lord, allow even the discussion about what you want in love after lockup. Father, I ask that you continue to release us from bad issues, bad problems, bad pain. But Father, as you release us, I want you to help us to enter into a better relationship with you. A more glorified actions in our daily personal lives so that others would know how gracious and how merciful you really have been
right.
with us. And Father, just show your face at the tables today. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Lord in heaven, it is our privilege to have known Mac. Lord, he has not passed away in our lives. He is in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. And Lord, we just thank you for him. Lord, we know that he is working the tables in heaven right now. And Lord, just continue to be with him, direct him, and Lord, because of him, direct us. And use his legacy to live in us. Thank you for his life. We thank you for his family. We thank you for all that you did for us through Mac. We praise you for his life.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to say one thing about the Lord. 50 years ago, I was saved about the same time I really was.
Someone's talking about Mac, I think.
And him and others of us, we go to jail service. Kokomo, we went to any other formatory service. Ireland would take his guitar and he'd sing a song. And you know what he'd say? How much he loved Jesus. And there was no restraints with Ireland. He told everybody about Jesus' love. And he was a spark plug to all us guys in our outreach service.
Amen.
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 One more announcement, real quick, along these lines. Most of you know Pastor Will Price.
Yes.
Probably most of you know his wife, I think he passed away. And so just remember that family in your thoughts and prayers. If you want to visit and love on Will, It's at Mount Pisgah Missionary Baptist Church. It's here in Kokomo on Sycamore Street. Visitations at 10 o'clock. There's a celebration of life at noon. This coming Friday, March 10th.
Thank you. Thank you. Not no time to see.
Yeah.